ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। नमो पङ्कजनाभाय नमो पङ्कजमालिने नमो पङ्कजनेत्राय नमस्ते पङ्कजाङ्ग्रे। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 85 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंस्ट्रक्ट्स वसुदेव टेक्स्ट नंबर 15 गुण प्रवाह एतस्मिन् अबुदास अखिलात्मनः गतिं सूक्ष्माम् अबोधेना संसरन्ती अकर्मभिः गुणप्रवाह एतस्मिन् अबुधास्त्वकिलात्मनः गतिं सूक्ष्माम् अबोधेन संसरन्ती अकर्मभिः गुणप्रवाह एतस्मिन् अबुदास्त्वकिलात्मना गतिं सूक्ष्ममबोधेन संसरन्तीह कर्मभिः।
That is
of the material modes. pravahe, in the flow. Etasmin, this. Abhudaha, those who are ignorant. Tu, but. Akhila, of everything. Atmanaha, of the soul. Gatim, the destination. Sukshmam, sublime. Abodhena, because of their lack of understanding. Samsaranti, they move through the cycle of birth and death. Ya, in this world. Karma bhi, forced by their material activities. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. They are truly ignorant who, while imprisoned within the ceaseless flow of this world's material qualities, fail to know You, the Supreme Soul of all that be, as their ultimate sublime destination. Because of their ignorance, the entanglement of material work forces such souls to wander in the cycle of birth and death. Purport. A soul who forgets his true identity as a servant of God is sent to this world to be imprisoned in a succession of material bodies. Wrongly identifying himself with these bodies, such a conditioned soul suffers the consequent distress of karmic action and reaction. Vasudev, as a compassionate Vaishnava, laments for the suffering conditioned souls, whose unhappiness, the result of ignorance, can be remedied by knowledge of the principles of devotional service to Lord Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyamishwaram Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarini Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare 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 Krishna. Seek the blessings of all devotees assembled, especially Srinadji Prabhu. So we are reading Lord Krishna's instructions to his father, Vasudev. This is a section where Mother Devaki, she requests Krishna to get her dead sons back. Actually, when Krishna was born, before he was sent to Gokul Mahavan, before Vasudev took him, Mother Devaki had fed him her own milk. And now, in this chapter, Krishna is going to retrieve the sons of Devaki, the six sons whom Kamsa had killed. Krishna is going to, will go to Yamaraj's abode and get them back. And then, they would drink Mother Devaki's milk, which means they would be drinking Krishna's Maha. And thus they would be liberated. And here in this particular section that we are reading is where Vasudeva has understood Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He begs forgiveness for having taken him as a child. And now Krishna is giving him instructions. It's very interesting. Our situation is we are in ignorance about Krishna. So we need to understand Krishna is God. And Vasudev has accepted Krishna as his son and now he is understanding that Krishna is God. And we have Vrajvasis who never understand that Krishna is God. This is what Uddhava also realized, even Brahmaji realized that
The referents of Vrindavan are very special. Now here in this purport we are reading where very nice statement that our unhappiness is a result of ignorance and this can be remedied by knowledge of the principles of devotional service to Lord Krishna. So knowledge is extremely important, especially for us. We are practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. We need to constantly equip ourselves with the sword of knowledge. We need to understand what is truth, what is wrong, what is nescience, what is light. And based on this knowledge we act and we come closer to Krishna. But for residents of Vrindavan, there is no knowledge about Krishna's greatness. They are only on the level of love. So much love that knowledge is covered completely. Jnana avrita bhakti. The jnana is completely covered. So Uddhava, when he went to Vrindavan and he was trying to console Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, very interesting, very nice discussion they had. Uddhava knows all the technical things. He knows that Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda are in Vatsalya Bhav. So he tries to convince them that, you know, what you are lamenting, what you are crying, this is Vatsalya Ras. And your son Krishna is actually Supreme Lord. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda just don't understand this. They say, how can our Krishna be God? They tell Uddhava that we have not learnt scriptures like you have learnt. You are student of Brihaspati. We are very ordinary people. But we know that Narayan is somebody who is shelter of all living entities. Narayana. But our Krishna, he has taken shelter of us. So how can we say he is God? So like this, Nanda Maharaj very logically proves to Uddhava that he is wrong. Although Nanda Maharaj is not as educated as Uddhava. Then he tells him that we have heard that Lord, the Supreme Lord is completely self-satisfied. But our Krishna is always wanting butter. And Narayan, Supreme Lord, is somebody who is always truthful. And our Krishna is always stealing butter and lying. So they just can't figure out how Krishna could be God. So then Uddhava tells them, you know what Krishna has done? He has killed Jarasandha, he has killed so many demons. He has defeated Jarasandha 17 times. All this logical proof which Uddhava gives would convince any layman that Krishna must be really somebody amazing, supreme, powerful, almighty. Natural conclusion one would arrive at when they hear Krishna's prowess, which Uddhava describes to Nanda Maharaj. But Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj's conclusion is, oh, Krishna is fighting against demons so much. It is not good for him. He is our child. He will get tired. He will get exhausted. He will be in so much anxiety. It is not good for him to take so much anxiety. They are just not able to connect to the fact that Krishna could be God. That much love. One Prabhupada disciple was giving a class once on this theme. He was saying a very nice analogy. He said, Uddhava was filled with knowledge. He was a student of Brihaspati. So much knowledge he had. So he wore the hat of knowledge and went to Vrindavan. But when he saw the position of Brijavasis, how much love they had for Krishna, and it was so high, and he kept looking at that love, which was so high, high, so high, so high. And when he kept seeing, his hat fell down. His hat of knowledge fell. He realized that I cannot understand Brijavasis' love. And then Krishna gave him a wonderful realization, very sweet realization Uddhava got. Uddhava got a realization that knowledge is extremely important for dispelling ignorance. Just like sunlight is needed to dispel darkness. So right now we are in darkness. We don't know, we think I am the body. We are in a completely material consciousness. We are in ignorance. So what we need? We need the sunlight of knowledge. And when there is sunlight, all darkness goes away. Similarly, when there is knowledge, all ignorance goes away. But Uddhava realized, Brijavasi's love, if we want to appreciate that, then this sunlight is not sufficient. He realized that there are some entities in the sky which cannot be seen when sun is present. Like pole star. If you want to see the pole star, it has to be completely dark. The sun has to go away. Similarly, if somebody has to really, really understand Krishna's position and love Krishna, and have the highest realization of Krishna, then knowledge, the sunlight of knowledge will not help. That means there has to be such intense love. So this is what Uddhava realized, that the position of Brajvasis, especially the gopis, is very exalted, and that's why he aspires to be a gulmalata, a creeper on the outskirts of Vrindavan, so that the Brajvasis could trample upon him. Now that is the highest position, and we are at the lowest position. So we need knowledge to understand that I am not the body, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Because our relationship with Krishna, you know, it is like, it is not that we fell in love with Krishna and then we came to ISKCON and then we started chanting Hare Krishna. No, ours is like something like, you know, arranged marriage. You know, when I was reading Journey Home, and so Radhana Swami Maharaj writes about his journey. And as young Richard, he is searching for God, and then he comes to Vrindavan and he sees Krishna's painting. You read the book, you realize that he started following the regulative principles. He actually loved Krishna before he actually officially accepted the, you know, the institutional framework and the process. So for him it was like love marriage. So it was not at all difficult serving Krishna and connecting to Krishna through the process of Vedic Sadhana Bhakti. For us, you know, it is something like what my grandmother would tell me when I was young. She was married when she was 6 years old, 1930s. And my grandfather was, maternal grandfather, he was that time 16, 10 years older to her. So she used to tell me that when she was married, she had no idea what marriage was. She says she was very excited because she thought marriage means lot of gifts and nice clothes to wear, lot of jewelry. So she was in her girlish enthusiasm and fun. And after marriage, her husband, that is my grandfather, would visit home sometimes. They were not staying together for the next 10 years. After 10 years, they started staying together. So she would serve him, and then she was given knowledge that he is her husband. Serve him. And then eventually when she was 16 or 17, she started living with him. And then eventually, love developed. And I remember after my grandfather passed away also, she lived for another 17, 18 years. And I could see she carried herself with a lot of, you know, grace and, you know, she had a lot of love and affection for my grandfather. But her relationship with my grandfather began with ignorance. Then knowledge. Then love. So for many of us, our relationship with Krishna begins with ignorance. You know, we are like that small girl. We have no idea what is Krishna, who is Krishna. We are excited by the process of bhakti because of many of the external things. Nice prasad, Hari Bol, you know, big group. Nice, many places people join Hare Krishna because they get good friends and good, you know, it's like it meets their social needs also. And we are excited, fun, and many of us are artho, jigyas or artharthi. Many of us come to Krishna because of distress, because of wanting something, curiosity. We are in ignorance actually. But as we come, then we get knowledge. We hear classes, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Jivera Swarupoy Krishnera Nitya Das, serve Krishna. And then after serving, so ignorance phase we have passed through, or we are right now in the phase of knowledge we are hearing. But just like a husband wife, they are staying together, after some years their marriage may seem dry, if there is no affection, no feelings for each other. They may be serving, but it may be dry. So then they have to work on the relationship. Similarly, after years of practicing Krishna consciousness, acquiring lot of knowledge, but still a devotee may feel dry. So that's when the love, the feelings has to be there. Our service has to be imbued with feelings of affection for Krishna. So at each stage, we have to move forward. We have to make our relationship with Krishna deeper. And therefore, knowledge is always needed, because it's not that always we'll have loving feelings for Krishna. Even if you feel connected to Krishna occasionally, many times it's duty, isn't it? For many of us, our services are at the level of duty. Srila Prabhupada writes this purport, 5th canto, very beautiful verse. Nayam deho deya bajamra loke kashtan kaman arhate vidbujame tapo divyam putraka ena sattvam. Human life is meant for tapasya. Shuddhye desmad brahma saukyam tanantam. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, This is 1970s, Srila Prabhupada is writing. How a man is suffering so much, he gets up early in the morning, takes a local train which is very crowded, and he struggles and suffers so much, reaches his office, works hard, then he has to again travel back to the station, then again he takes a train. Like that he describes the suffering of a person. So this is knowledge he is giving us through scriptures. And there Rishabh Dev is telling his sons that, you know, we have to perform austerity. So for many of us, bhakti is austere many times because we are not having the sweet remembrance of Krishna. So at such times knowledge helps. Knowledge helps us to understand a sense of purpose. At the same time we also need to develop loving feelings. So like this, a devotee moves forward from ignorance to knowledge, knowledge to love. And we make this transition, or we evolve to the stage of love by adding the element of favorable remembrance of Krishna. Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktiruttama. So as we are engaging in our devotional service, we constantly offer this to Krishna. We remember Krishna. And that remembrance fills the heart of a devotee. Remembrance of Krishna fills the heart of a devotee with rasa, with happiness, which helps him or her tolerate the miseries of material existence. So this is a very nice verse, and the purport is clearly mentioning the importance of knowledge. And also this verse, guna pravaha etasmin, there is a similar verse in the 6th canto where Mara Chitraketu is telling Mother Parvati, guna pravaha etasmin ka shapa ko anugraha ka swarga naraka kova kim sukam dukkam evava. When Mother Parvati cursed him, Chitraketu Maharaj is telling her that this is the influence of the three modes. What is your benediction and what is your curse? What is heaven? What is hell? What is happiness? What is distress? It's a world of duality. And the next verse he says, samsara chakra etasmin chantur ajnana mohita bhramyan sukam cha dukkam cha bhunkte sarvatra sarvada. He says that the living entity is constantly trying to enjoy, and in that enjoyment he also gets a lot of suffering. This is also happening because of traveling through the cycle of birth and death, being influenced by the moods. The similar mood is echoed in this verse, where the acharyas are giving us a purport that if we have knowledge, transcendental knowledge, then we can cut through this suffering and through this cycle of repeated birth and death. Because what happens is, if we do not get transcendental knowledge, then in ignorance, when we live our life in ignorance, then even our enjoyment only brings suffering. Whereas if there is transcendental knowledge, then even suffering brings pleasure. Srila Prabhupada would give the example of a hog. Graphic example. Srila Prabhupada is expert in this. To drive home a point, you could give an example that could, you know, after which nobody would have any questions. Srila Prabhupada said a hog feasts on stool, human excreta. So Srila Prabhupada said, if there is a stool lying, and if two hogs are arguing, which is better? Because of the sunshine, the top part of the stool, the dump of stool, has become crispy. So one hog is saying, this is very tasty because it's crispy. The second hog is saying, no, the below part is juicy. So which is tastier, the top part or the lower part? Both is stool. Isn't Srila Prabhupada said? Similarly, what is good? What is bad? Material world. Dvaita, Bhadra, Bhadra, Gyan, Sabha, Mano, Dharma. What is good? What is bad? It is both is bad. Because it is only increasing our suffering in this material world. That's why Srila Prabhupada also gave another story of Indra. How once Indra was cursed to be a hog. And he was enjoying with this female hog, and he had piglets, and they were in the gutter enjoying. Brahma felt compassion for him, and Brahma came and told Indra that you please come back to accept your position. And Indra said, how can I leave my family? See, I have such nice cute piglets, I have such a nice affectionate wife. So Srila Prabhupada gives us an example to say how we are blinded. We don't even realize in ignorance, we don't realize higher goals of life. But therefore, So all the achievements that we have in this world, all the pursuits we have, it's all in ignorance. Because it is in ignorance, even if we get so-called titillating sense pleasure, that pleasure only results in more suffering. Now, some time ago I was reading about two explorers who went to Antarctica. But I was curious to know about them because I had heard long back something about them. So recently I did some research and I read about the first man who went to South Pole. It is an amazing expedition. And I was amazed to find that there was competition between two men. One was from Norway, Raoul Amundsen. And the other was a British naval officer, Robert Scott. Both were highly ambitious and desperate to be the first man to reach South Pole. And what all they did to feel that sense of achievement. How much they struggled, how much hard work. They spent almost 15-16 years preparing for it. Because it's not easy to reach that particular point. I don't remember the technical details, but I remember reading that it is very difficult to reach that spot because it is minus 50-55 degrees Celsius. Extremely cold. And it's something like distance of 1500 kilometers one way. And you have to take a lot of dogs and it's a sledge. You have to travel in that. Unpredictable weather, lot of suffering, and it takes almost 4 months to go and come back to reach that particular spot. So you have to plan and prepare a lot. So Robert Scott and his team was preparing, not revealing the secrets that they were learning to Raoul Amundsen's team, and he was also, and he was as a young boy, he had a great fascination. He wanted to always be the first man to reach the North Pole. As he was planning, desiring, trying, when he was a teenager, he learned that two Americans have already reached the North Pole. So he felt very sad. He felt, okay, I can't go to North Pole, I'll be the first one to go to South Pole. So he was determined. And Robert Scott was also determined. So he had his own team. The other fellow had his own team. So they were preparing, struggling. And finally, they made their independent journey. So it is very graphic description. It's very scary when you read that. Cold, unpredictable weather, they carried something like 70-80 dogs, out of which only 20 dogs were used for sledging. The other dogs were used to be, they were killed and eaten as meat and fed to the other dogs. Horrible life. That if you read that, you will feel, my God, is it worth it? That whole South Pole, which is three times bigger than Australia, has a population of 100 people only. No human beings can live there. It's crazy. But their ambition to be the first one was so strongly driving them. So finally they went, and when Robert Scott finally reached there, Raoul Amundsen's flag was already there. That we have already reached. He had left 2 months in advance with his team and he had already reached there. And he had already come back. He was on the way back. So then this fellow, Robert Scott, was so sad. And as soon as he reached, he was the second man in the world. He could have celebrated. Second rank. Still he was miserable. And as soon as he reached there, he wrote in his diary, everything is devastated. I have lost all happiness. I am the most miserable man in the universe. He writes in his diary. And this diary is still preserved. He was shattered after 17 years of hard work just because he was 3 or 4 weeks late. He was not the first man to reach the South Pole. He was devastated. And his journey back, he was so sad. Slowly, one by one, all his team members were dying. And finally, he also died. Because you know, when you lost hope, you attract that kind of energy also. He lost that will, determination, and he's writing in his diary, today one more person died. And he's writing about how each one of them is dying. And then now he's writing, finally he writes the last entry, I'm also dying now, it's extremely cold, we have lost the path. For God's sake, somebody take care of my family. Those were the last words he wrote, and he died. And later on, the rescuers came after many months, they found their dead bodies. So he died a miserable death. And then after he died, he became a hero. Now, he couldn't celebrate that because all over England, oh, he was the man who reached South Pole, but he was not there to celebrate it. And Raoul Amundsen became a villain because they perceived that he must have done some cheating to be the first man. So finally, after years, he got the glory. But when he got the glory and he was interviewed, he writes in his book, I am not happy because I always wanted to go to the North Pole. See, you have to appreciate their candidness. But both are miserable at the end of the day. That is the point I am trying to make. So in ignorance we are trying to get happiness. In ignorance we are trying to achieve. In ignorance we are trying to be somebody great. We don't know who we are, what we are doing. And such great achievement, so much risks they took. For what? For nothing. So this is the tragedy of modern civilization. Now, because of ignorance, people are trying to get happiness. See, when we are ignorant and when we seek happiness, that attempt leads to bigger misery than the original misery which we had. Like simple example. Like, you know, if you don't know plumbing and your sink, you know, your wash basin gets spoiled, or your bathroom water is leaking and it's a mess. And you have no idea of plumbing and you try to repair it. So what happens? You create a bigger mess than the original problem. So the problem here was ignorance. And in ignorance you try to solve the problem. That solution created a bigger problem than the original problem. Like your laptop conks off. You have no idea about hardware. So you start repairing. What will happen? The laptop will get more spoiled. Or you don't know cooking. And you go to the kitchen. And you say, I will cook something spectacular today. You've never been to the kitchen before. For the kitchen, after you are entering the kitchen, would be a bigger mess than it was before. So in all these examples, ignorance. So we don't know what is happiness, how to be happy. We don't know what is the difference between body and soul. We have no idea. Okay, we are in ignorance. That is a big enough problem. But a bigger problem is, with that ignorance, we try to solve problems of unhappiness. So that creates more unhappiness than what we had earlier. The material solution creates a bigger problem than the original problem. When I was studying in college, we had one economic model we had studied. It was called as Lewis' model of economic development. Very simple. This economist had given a solution. If country has to develop, they have to increase the wage structure, salary structure in the cities by 20%. Then they will get appropriate workforce from the rural areas to the city. So he gave some model like that. So the government of Kenya, they liked it. So in 1964, they implemented this policy in their country. But what happened? No, because higher wage structure in the city, they wanted some 13 or 14% of labor force. But seeing the higher wage structure, 90% of people migrated. So when people migrated, all of them could not get jobs. The others, the unorganized sector became strong. Means the slums and the other areas, the unemployment increased and civil unrest. Eventually it became such a big mess. So when we used to study this, that time we didn't know the Krishna conscious understanding. Now we understand. For every economic model that you study, you have to write in one page what is the economic model all about. And the next 5 pages you have to write all the limitations or shortcomings of that model. Every economic model is fraught with problems. Because there is no perfect solution. In ignorance, when we create solution, that solution creates bigger problem. Therefore, transcendental knowledge is needed. Like earlier, we had problem of walking. Long distances we had to walk. So they invented automobiles, car. Nice. We can travel now fast. Now what is the problem? No fresh air, pollution. So now breathing problem. What is the bigger problem? Walking problem or breathing problem? Eventually, we would have created such a big problem. So our situation is like that of a saint who was doing meditation under a tree. He was practicing non-violence. And he had a big beard. As he was doing dhyan, one ant from the tree fell on his beard. So he said, oh, I am a non-violent person. How can I allow this ant to be here? It may die. So he took his beard back to the tree branch and he told the ant, please, my dear ant, go away. But what happened? All the ants in that branch, they jumped on his beard. So now in order to save himself, he ran and he jumped into a pool of water and then he got relieved of all the ants. So he tried to save one ant, he ended up killing all the ants. So this is our situation. We are in ignorance, we try to create solutions to problems. So therefore what we need is transcendental knowledge. Now on hearing this, many times devotees wonder, but Prabhuji, we have all the knowledge, we know all the shlokas, we know all the scriptures, but we are also suffering. Are devotees free from suffering? Don't devotees go through accidents, death, separation? So how do we understand the difference? So Chaitanya Charan Prabhu gave a nice example once. He said, two patients are lying in the hospital bed. Both are screaming in pain. Patient A and patient B. Externally, if you see, both are miserable. Both are shouting. Both are miserable. But the difference is, patient A his disease has been diagnosed and the medication has started and he knows it and the treatment has begun. So very soon he is going to get cured. Patient B, his disease has not been diagnosed and all experiments is going on and he also knows it. So now if you see externally, both are screaming in pain, but who is better off?
A.
Why? Because at least he knows what is his disease and he knows that he is going to get cured. And he knows that his suffering is now ending. Similarly, devotees and materialistic people, both may apparently, you know, both may be suffering, but there is a big difference. Jnanasena, the Bhagavad Gita says, the sword of knowledge helps us break through the ropes of attachment, material attachment. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam comes to our rescue. By providing us transcendental knowledge, Srimad Bhagavatam dispels of the ignorance. Krishne sadamo pagate dharma jnanabhi saha kalo nashta drishameva puranarko dhunodita. When Krishna left for the spiritual world, along with him went dharma and jnana. Krishne sadamo pagate dharma jnanabhi saha kalo nashta drishameva. The eyesight of people in Kali Yuga has been destroyed. So we need Purana Arka. Arka means sunlight. We need the sunlight of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhunodita, that will dispel of all the ignorance. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam comes as that ray of hope, that illuminating transcendental sunlight which gives us hope. And in Srimad Bhagavatam we find the solution to distress. So many sections where we find descriptions of Krishna's beauty. Sukadeva Goswami constantly implores Parikshit Maharaj and all of us, take shelter of Krishna. Krishna is the only hope. You know, Dhruva Maharaj, when he is approaching his mother Suniti, she tells him, Nanyam tata padma palashalochana dukha chidamte mrigayami kanchana yo mrigyate hastagrihita padmaya shriyetare ranga vimrigya manaya. So Dhruva is extremely angry because his stepmother has insulted him. And his mother, Suniti, tells him, she is right. Actually only Krishna, only Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan can help you. And she tells him that everybody is running after Mother Lakshmi for mercy, but Mother Lakshmi is looking for Krishna. Only Krishna can remove your distress, my dear child. Take shelter of Krishna. Mother is instructing her son. And like that, we get instruction from Srimad Bhagavatam. How to get relief from distress. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, he paraphrases what Suniti is saying. And Srila Prabhupada writes, Suniti is telling Dhruva as if she is saying like this, my dear child, you have come to me crying because you are in distress, but the combined affection of millions of mothers like me will be surpassed by the tender and affectionate dealings of Krishna with his devotees. What a beautiful hope-giving statement. Millions of mothers like me, our affection will be surpassed by Krishna's tender and affectionate dealings. So in Srimad Bhagavatam we find many places like this, that Krishna consciousness is the solution. It is the succor, it is the relief from suffering. So devotee feels hope. And when a devotee remembers Krishna at the time of distress, that remembrance of Krishna fills his heart with happiness. And then material life in material world, tolerable. I can tolerate for some more years. So like this, we have understanding. So first is ignorance. Okay? From ignorance we have come to the stage of knowledge. Now, here there is a problem. The problem is sometimes we become so focused in our pursuit of knowledge, we forget the purpose of knowledge. In the sense, we learn scriptures so diligently and we try to figure out the solution to the problem, but we forget that ultimately we are studying all this to please Krishna and attract Krishna's grace. Because there is an inherent defect in the process of jnana. Karma, jnana and yoga. How is bhakti different from these paths? In bhakti we depend on the mercy, grace of Krishna. In all other paths there is a tendency to be controller. I can get. So through jnana also many times, I have figured out. I know what is the solution for inattentive chanting. I have the three solutions. I have an acronym. You know, we figure out, we think we have figured out everything. I have got holy name in my control. Yes, now I can chant attentively. Sorry. The more we try to be perfect and control, the more we are, more Krishna is going to be elusive. Because Krishna is a transcendental autocrat. So bhakti is all based on coming, our knowledge is supposed to help us come to a level where we can tell Krishna, Krishna, I give up all this fruitless endeavor. I completely depend on you. Our knowledge is not to achieve something. You know, sometimes, many times you think, okay, I got this, I'll get 90% in my Bhakti Shastri exam. I figured out this. Before Janmashtami, I have to complete Krishna book. I finished it. I did it. It's all achievement mode. And Sachinandan Maharaj was saying in one class, bhakti is not about achieving. Bhakti is about receiving. How much are we receiving grace? How much are we receiving mercy? How much are we connected to Krishna? That is the whole gist of bhakti. But many times we get trapped by the mode of the numerical satisfaction we get, you know, in our chanting also. Today I chanted 25. That is needed. We need to chant extra, and till we get taste, maybe this is what we have to keep doing. But still, we have to endeavor to rise above the dry stage, which is based on knowledge. We have to also seek shelter of Krishna. And with all our knowledge, we may know all the scriptures, but still Krishna we cannot understand. And what is the best example of this? Brahma. Is there anybody more intelligent than Brahma in this material universe? He has four heads, not one. He is the master of Goddess Saraswati, and we all worship Mother Saraswati for knowledge. And Brahmaji with his four heads got bewildered by Krishna. What to speak of you and me? How did Brahmaji get bewildered? Anybody knows? When was this? After the killing of Agasur. What happened? Brahmaji saw there's a big celebration going on, so he came outside to see. And he was wondering, such a huge demon killed by a small boy? Not possible. How can a small boy kill? And to top it, he's seeing that little Krishna is playing with his friends in such an innocent way, such a sweet way. And Krishna is telling his friends, okay, let us have picnic here. So they all are sitting, and Krishna is in the center. And all his friends have circled. They are sitting in thousands of boys. They are sitting in circles. And one boy is telling Krishna, I didn't get my tiffin, my prasad today. So Krishna is saying, no problem, you sit next to me. So Krishna is behaving. Now Brahmaji has heard that this boy has killed Agasur. And he is saying, but this boy, he is so ordinary. And his friends are all making fun. And they are having prasad. And what does Krishna have when when Brahmaji sees his form? On his left hand, Krishna has curd, rice, butter on top of it, and little fruits dripping from his fingers. And on the right hand, there is pickles. And left hand is eating. No, we have rules. Left hand se nahi khane ka. Rules are for us, not for Krishna. Krishna is beyond all these rules. And then they are joking. Krishna is saying, oh, Sridhama. And Sridhama is saying, Krishna, see, I bought this kheer. So Krishna is eating and he is saying, oh, such nice prasad. Your mother is the greatest cook. Then everybody appreciates. Then somebody's prasad Krishna eats and says, oh, your grandmother made this. She doesn't know how to cook. Then everybody laughs. All joking is going on. Everybody is laughing. And then one bumblebee came. Bumblebee would always come near Krishna. Bumblebees would be hovering around Krishna. Because bumblebees, they are always wanting nectar, honey. And Krishna's lotus feet provides that much, much more nectar and honey than any honey could provide. The bumblebees are always attracted to Krishna. So when the bumblebee came close, Krishna started joking with the bumblebee. He said, bumblebee, why have you come? Why are you harassing our Madhu Mangal? Don't you know? Brahma Hatya is a very big sin. So then everybody laughed. So Brahmaji is seeing all this and he's wondering, this is the Supreme Lord? Let me test him. This is when, see Brahmaji, how he's falling into Maya. We say, you know, four defects conditioned soul has. What are the four defects? Imperfect senses, tendency to be an illusion, making mistakes and cheating. So we say, we have these four defects, what to do? We are ordinary souls. But Brahmaji also got into this. See, can you imagine? Our body, we can understand we are getting these four defects because our body is made of what? Earth, water. What is Brahmaji's body made of? Intelligence. His body is made of intelligence, not like our body. and still he is having four defects. His body is fully made of intelligence, and we have tiny little intelligence, and that also we don't use. And we think sometimes, I will not be in Maya, you know, I am an association of devotees, I am safe. Brahmaji got bewildered. You try to figure out Krishna, try to control Krishna, with all the knowledge, we will be smashed. So Brahmaji was bewildered and he wanted to test Krishna. Meanwhile, Krishna and his friends are enjoying, and all the boys, you know what Krishna did? Amazing pastime. Thousands of boys, Krishna is in the center, and each one of them feels that Krishna is looking only at him. What a miracle, what magic. Who can do this? In this world, one leader, no leader can satisfy all his people. Somebody will complain. Mereko prem nahi kiya, mereko dekha nahi, mereko smile nahi kiya. Only Krishna can establish a relationship with every living entity, and more importantly, Krishna can satisfy you completely in that relationship. Everybody was completely satisfied. And Krishna was looking at each one of them. And then the boys told Krishna, Krishna, our calves are missing. Because the calves were supposed to be grazing there nearby and drinking water from Yamuna. And Krishna, he said, I will go and take care of them. So Krishna left to see the calves. Now Krishna knew what had happened. The calves had disappeared. Why? Brahmaji had stolen them. But Krishna is so expert. He didn't say, oh, Brahmaji, you stole. No, he pretended as if he doesn't know anything. Because if he had immediately revealed that he has figured it out, then Brahmaji would have been exposed. But Krishna wanted Brahma to be nicely humbled. So he pretended as if he doesn't know. Oh, where are my calves? Very innocent boy, you know. And he did not wash his hands and go searching. He just went like this only. And then he saw calves are not there. And then he looked here. By this time, Brahmaji kidnapped the boys also. Krishna smiled. Krishna knew Brahmaji had done this, and what Krishna had done, he had anticipated this, and he had already created Mayarbhaka. Shukadeva Goswami says, the calves and boys that Brahma kidnapped were created by Maya. They were not the original. Where were the original boys and calves? They were right there. Krishna made them statue, and by Yoga Maya potency covered them so much that even the Brijvasis later on, for the whole 1 year, nobody could see that the boys and the cows were there. For them, the whole 1 year passed like 1 second. So the original boys and cows were right there. And then Krishna created these Maya calves and boys whom Brahmaji kidnapped. And Brahmaji thought he has hidden them in a cave. And then what Krishna did? Third set of calves and boys. What is that third set? Krishna himself expanded as the calves and the boys. And he came and they went to Vrindavan. Now this is just Krishna. What Krishna does with this one pastime, how many objectives he is achieving. Brahmaji is now completely bewildered. But also in Vrindavan, what objective Krishna is achieving? All the gopis, they would see Mother Yashoda take care of Krishna. Many times they would wish, how we wish Krishna was our child so that we could serve him. So now, Krishna has expanded himself as all the boys and the calves. So now the gopis, their desires will be fulfilled. So when they came to Vrindavan, when Krishna and all the friends came back to Vrindavan, it was actually Krishna. When they came back to Vrindavan, all the mothers, they embraced their children and they felt intense affection they had never felt before. And they were wondering why we are feeling so much love for our child. Generally in this world, mother's affection, if you analyze, mother loves her child the first, most. That is the first level. Then the mother may love other neighbor's children. And then if she is a devotee, she may love Krishna. But in Vrindavan, it's a different formula. In Vrindavan, everybody loves who? All mothers love first Krishna. Then second, they love their own child. Then third, they love other's child. Like, for example, Subal's mother. Subal's mother's first love is Krishna. Second love is Subal. Third is Sridhama and Sto Krishna and others. But today, when Krishna came back, with whom? With himself. All the calves and boys were Krishna only. So when they came back, the mothers are embracing their children, and mothers are finding it amazing. Today we are loving our child same as we are loving Krishna. How it is happening? They were not able to understand. And then they were loving the other's children also same as they were loving their children. And then Krishna, and the cows also always wanted to give milk to Krishna. They used to see Krishna and they used to feel, we want to give directly to milk to Krishna. So now Krishna has come as calf. So all the calves, they got milk from their mother. So basically Krishna drank their milk. See how Krishna expertly did this. And can you imagine for 1 year, and every day this love was increasing more, and nobody figured it out. Even Balaramji did not understand. This is the power of Krishna. And we are trying to understand Krishna with our tiny brains. Srila Prabhupada would say that you cannot understand Krishna. So one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, then Prabhupada, why have you written so many books if you cannot understand Krishna? Prabhupada said, I have written so many books so that you can understand that you cannot understand Krishna. This is how Krishna is. But Balaramji, when 5 days was remaining, he understood. He got one suspicion. Something very interesting happened. What had happened was, they were on the top of Govardhan. So the cows were on top of Govardhan, and the calves were on the below the Govardhan. So these cows felt so much affection for their calves. Who are these calves? Krishna. And the cows felt so much affection for the cow, which is Krishna, that they came running down from the top of Govardhan mountain. Now this is very, very odd. This doesn't happen. Running down is very difficult. And the cows were running so fast, as if their front legs and back legs became same. And they came running. And the caretakers of these cows, the cowherd men, they were big, tall, mustache. They always had the cows being very obedient to them. But today, the cows were not obedient to them. Strange, never happens in Vrindavan like this. And the cows ran full speed to meet their calves. And Balaramji is wondering, how come they are so affectionate? Because the calves have become big. See, calves, you know, calves drink the milk of their cows only for some time. After some time, when the calves grow up, then they don't drink milk. Then they eat the grass and other things. Even cows, Balaramji wondered, these cows have already given birth to more calves. So they are naturally more affectionate to their new calves. And the older calves, they should not be so affectionate. But how come these cows are running towards these older calves? Desperately. And when they came, and meanwhile the calves also freed themselves from the cowherd boys and they ran to the cows and they drank milk and the cows were licking the calves with so much affection as if they were going to swallow them. So much love. So Balaramji was mesmerized and these cowherd men were very angry. They felt ashamed also that our cows are not obeying us. So they came running down. When they came running down, their legs were paining. But when they saw whom? The cowherd men saw whom? They saw their boys, cowherd boys were taking care of the calves. Who were these cowherd boys? Krishna. So they saw this, they saw Krishna, but they thought their child. So they went running and they embraced their sons and bathed them with their tears, smelled their hair, kissed them, and profusely they are crying. Big grown up men with big mustache, tall, and they are crying like small babies. So Balaramji is bewildered. How come they are crying so much? Everyone is crying there. Why? Because they are feeling intense affection for Krishna. That's when Balaram suspected and Balaram asked Krishna and then Krishna revealed the whole thing. Otherwise even he wouldn't have known. See, this is how Krishna's maya is so powerful. Finally then, meanwhile what happened to Brahmaji? Brahmaji went, he saw, because 1 year happened by this time. So again Krishna and all the boys were there in bank of Yamuna. Same Krishna was there. So Brahmaji saw, I just kidnapped the calves and the boys and they're still here. Let me go and check. So he went back to see in the caves. In the caves also they were there. He came outside also they were there. He wondered how it is happening. Then he started analyzing. This is what happens when we have too much intelligence. We analyze. Maybe this like this. So Brahmaji said, I know what Krishna has done. He's so smart. When I went to the Yamuna bank to see, Krishna must have gone before me to the caves, picked up all the boys and the cows and came back to the Yamuna and kept them there. And when I saw them that they are here, and when I came back to the cave to see, Krishna before me took all the cows and the boys and put them back in the cave. So like this, he was analyzing. See, by his intelligence, he couldn't figure out. Short circuit ho gaya, pura intelligence. He just couldn't figure out how Krishna can do this. See, Brahmaji was trying to measure Krishna's maya, Krishna's strength with this maya, with this strength. It is like, you know, a small child has a foot ruler, 6 inches, and the child says, I will measure the sky with this. Or we say, with my finger I am going to measure the ocean. How much can we measure? So similarly, Brahma's intelligence is like that foot ruler. How much can a firefly give light compared to the sun? So what is Brahma's power? So if Brahma is nothing in front of Krishna, what are we? So Brahma realized his mistake. And then immediately fell at Krishna's lotus feet and started crying. But Krishna didn't show that, see, I defeated you. No, it's not that he said, okay, you know, Krishna was again, he was very, very innocent, as if nothing has happened. He didn't make any show of anything. That is the sweetness of Krishna. Brahmaji was totally humbled. Brahmaji started crying. He put all his 4 heads on the ground, same time. Sukadeva Goswami says, how it happened, I don't know. How can somebody put, he had 4 heads. Then he got up and he was profusely crying. How many hands Brahmaji has? 2 hands. How many face? 4. How many eyes? 8 eyes, tears are flowing non-stop. And with his 2 hands, Brahmaji first wiped the tears of his first face, then he wiped the tears of his second face. So like this, he was wiping his tears, he was crying, he was again paying dandavat, again getting up. You know, just like we sometimes see in the temple, devotees come, they take darshan, they hold their ears, they do dandabaitak, they get up. That means we know they have done some mistake, they are begging forgiveness from Krishna. Similarly, Brahmaji is doing dandavat, getting up, crying. And then he offers, in the 14th chapter of 10th canto, some of the most beautiful prayers you will find. Brahmaji says, all this knowledge, analysis, we have to keep it aside and we have to simply love Krishna. Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shrutigatam tanuvang manobir. One of the prayers Brahmaji says is that when one gives up his speculation, mental speculation, and throws it away, and then sthane sthita, he is situated in his position, and with his words, body and mind, he just absorbs in Krishna katha and Krishna seva. Then this Krishna, who is ajita, unconquerable, by this endeavor, a praya show jita jitopi, this ajita, unconquerable Lord will become conquered by the love of his devotee. You know, in the Madhavendra Puri section in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada writes a beautiful statement. He says, one cannot understand Krishna without being a lover of Krishna. One cannot understand Krishna without being a lover of Krishna. So at some point of time, we have to come in our Krishna consciousness. At some stage, we have to come to this stage where we can tell Krishna, Krishna, I love you. Or Krishna, I want to love you. Krishna, I am fed up of this material world. So this Krishna is waiting for us to make this step. So like this, this is the aspiration. So right now, we are studying scriptures to figure out solutions for our suffering. Yes. We can now take our bhakti to the next level where we study scriptures to receive Krishna's grace. Rather than, you know, for example, if I have to give a seminar on book distribution, I'll keep reading Prabhupada's books to find where book distribution is mentioned. That is also needed as a service. But if we can take shelter of Prabhupada's books in the mood that, you know, Krishna, Prabhupada, reveal to me now what is best for me. How can I serve you best? How can I come closer to you? In this mood when we approach scriptures, then Krishna consciousness appears wonderful. Then we can actually serve Krishna with our mind, intelligence and words. So this is the purport here. Vasudeva, as a compassionate Vaishnava, lament for the suffering conditioned souls whose unhappiness, the result of ignorance, can be remedied by knowledge of the principles of devotional service to Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Any questions or comments regarding today's class? Yes, Srinathji Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for this exquisite class. I remember once hearing Radhanath Maharaj explaining the same thing which you had told. There was one last part which was very interesting. Krishna, the real Krishna, original Krishna, goes to Nand Maharaj and says, Nand Maharaj, you know, this is the best season for marriage. And all these young gopis wanted Krishna as the husband. Now what happened is that there was Krishna who looked like Subal, but it was actually Krishna. Krishna looked like Madhumangal, but it was actually Krishna. So in this way, all these gopis, girls, small girls, like your grandmother, 6-year-old, they all got married to Krishna during that 1 year. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. One Brajavasi is, Brajavasis at this Stala Puran, they give a lot of rasa. So he was saying one more, from one Puranic angle, how after this pastime, Krishna went to Brahmaloka. And when he entered Brahmaloka, he told the gatekeepers there, see, one imposter is roaming around as Brahma. Just see that he doesn't come in. And then Krishna went and sat on Brahma's seat. And then when the real Brahma came, they said, see, here comes the imposter. So Brahmaji was completely bewildered. He understood that I cannot figure out Krishna. So Krishna performs many sweet pastimes like this. Having said this, I think we should also clarify that these demigods are great devotees of Krishna. They are not like us. They actually celebrate, they dance and they enjoy when Krishna kills demons. They are actually, they love to hear and glorify Krishna. We fall asleep when Krishna is glorified. We generally are awake only when somebody talks about us. But when somebody is talking about Krishna, we fall asleep. But demigods are really at a very advanced level. But, you know, Krishna uses them to teach us lessons and also he performs pastimes. Thank you, Prabhu, for sharing that. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Krishna retrieved Mother Devaki's sons. He also brought back the son of Sandipani Muni and the son of Brahmana from Dwarka. But when Pradyumna was kidnapped, when he was not even 10 days old, Samrasul kidnapped him. And the Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't mention anything about Krishna launching any search mission for that. Even when he returned after killing Samrasur, Rukmini Devi was saying that if my son would have been alive, he would have been of the same age and of the same features. So in that sense, even she gave up a hope on his son, her son. Rukmini Devi is his dear devotee, his first wife. So how is it that Krishna did not made any search mission for that?
I don't know. And it's okay. See, what happened in that pastime, Pradyumna, what happened eventually? In that pastime, what happened?
He got. He was actually praying. He met Lord Shiva, and Samrasur also prayed to Lord Shiva, and Rati Devi also prayed to Shiva because Kamdev was already killed. So that was the all combination.
So all these pastimes would not have happened if Krishna had launched his search mission and brought Pradyumna back immediately. These pastimes happened. Pastimes may see questions we ask on the philosophy. Pastime we accept as it is. You know? Krishna performs this pastime. Sometimes he will do something, sometimes he will not do, to meet a certain purpose, to make his pastime very sweet. So in one occasion, and even Devaki's children, he did not get them immediately after they were killed, after many years. So Krishna knows what is best, what to do when. So like that. So it's a sweet pastime. So I generally never, if somebody knows the answer, maybe can answer Prabhuji, but I think we generally accept it as a pastime. That is the difference between a pastime and a philosophical point. You know?
My question was based on that if he doesn't reciprocate sometime due to the pastime with his own intimate devotees like Mother Devaki or Rukmini ji, how can we expect that at certain point of time our emotions will be reciprocated by Krishna?
Oh, Krishna reciprocated with them. He was increasing their sweetness of the rasa of the relationship. Somebody may say Krishna didn't reciprocate with the gopis also. Gopis are crying, isn't it? So if you say externally, it may appear like that, but Krishna was increasing their affection, increasing the rasa. increasing their love. Like Krishna didn't go to Vrindavan. So the gopis, one could argue that, you know, Krishna is not reciprocating. In fact, in Raslila, what happened? Something interesting. Krishna disappeared in the Raslila. You know that? So the gopis were very upset. And when Krishna finally appeared, the gopis asked Krishna, what kind of a lover are you? Which of the three types? Options. A, B, C, D. A, B, C. So they gave three options. So they were cultured women. They couldn't tell Krishna that you are a cheat or you are betraying us. So they asked in a very nice, civilized way. They said, Krishna, what kind of a lover are you? A person who reciprocates as much love as he gets? Or second, a person who gives back more than what he gets? Or third, a person who gives back very little compared to a lot of love which he gets? So indirectly they wanted to say, you are the third type. But they couldn't directly tell that to Krishna because Krishna was not apparently reciprocating. You see this? So then they asked Krishna, which are the three type of lover you are? And what was Krishna's reply? Krishna said, none of the above. I am the fourth type. What is the fourth type? Krishna said, I am a lover who apparently is not reciprocating but who wants to intensify the hankering and calling of his devotee. So when you were crying out for me and you were wanting me to be there, I was right there behind the trees. I was watching, but I was enjoying to see your intense calling out for me. See, even when Krishna is not apparently reciprocating, right? Sometimes we feel Krishna is not reciprocating. Krishna is right there behind the tree, behind the pillar, above the chandelier, right in the altar. He's watching you. He's watching your crying. He's watching your hankering for Krishna's presence in your life. So Krishna is never not there. Krishna is never not reciprocating. It's just that he wants to see how much we are willing to offer our emotions to Krishna. So we should have that faith, and we should know that Krishna loves us infinitely much more than what we can imagine.
A little more in the same, Prabhuji. Little bit more about the emotions. When Krishna was fighting with Jamvanji, after 28 days, even the Dwarkavasis left. And left for never to return. So the same thing happened with Gajendra. When he was fighting, after some time the family left. Because that's the animal species, okay. And then Kim Purushas, Vali and Sugriva. When Vali was fighting, Sugriva left after some time and never to return. So like, if these kinds of emotions are compared, then what do we expect again from Dwarkavasis? They should have at least sometimes, later they should have come with army and everything and let's see what's going on inside.
They should have come, they didn't come. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Anybody else? Yes. Actually, now, Prabhu, before, just one point. And also, Krishna teaches us the nature of this material world also. And Gajendra's pastime also. Nobody will be there at some point of time. Nobody can help you. Srila Prabhupada wrote so many times, you are alone in this world. You are flying your own plane. Now we have false hopes from our family, friends, relatives. So Krishna teaches us that don't have these expectations. So it's not easy to accept this, but it's a fact. Nobody can help us. Yes, Srinath Ji Prabhu will answer your question before the next question. Yes, Prabhu. Please pass the microphone back.
Hare Krishna. This Gajendra was a clerk of Kuber. And once the question came that everything had to be given to Krishna. And Kuber was very keen. This is in Dwarka actually. And there's a Gomti river there. So the incident of that crocodile catching that Gajendra's foot happened to be at Gomti. Okay. Now, but this clerk fellow, he said, if my boss gives away everything to Krishna, means Kuber will be kadka, no money. And what will be my position? So that mood which he had was that of acquisition, you know, and enjoying that wealth as a clerk. Every day he was counting, my boss has become richer by so much. So he was feeling, I am the one. That became the elephant. Okay. Then after he was released from that clutch of the crocodile, both the crocodile and this the crocodile was also another sub clerk. There were two clerks of Kuber. Their names are given in this one of the samhitas I went through. I don't remember offhand the names. And both these clerks became corrupted by this thought. So one became a crocodile, the other became the elephant. And then when the elephant realized and gave that lotus to Dwarkadish, because Dwarkadish was right there, he then got released and both of them went back to Godhead in the original form and were reinstated as the clerks. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So nothing was lost. It was a pastime.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu, you had a question.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, some devotee only, that Krishna says that out of thousands of men, one may endeavor, and among those who are thousands who are endeavoring, only one may become pure devotee, or he may achieve Krishna consciousness in real. And then Krishna says that you should leave everything and surrender unto me, leave all dharmas. So are these not one feels that among billions of people somebody may get Krishna consciousness, and we are also we don't think that we are amongst one of those billions who will get. So one feels little down about this. So I couldn't answer like that.
If I understand your question correctly, you are saying that if one in a billion becomes a devotee, you feel that you are not one in that billion. Oh, but you are, right? What is the population of this planet? Seven billion. How many are devotees of Krishna? How many members are there in ISKCON?
Maybe some million, 1 million or something.
1 million. So you are one of them.
But still, out of those who will endeavor, only one will get Krishna consciousness in true sense. So.
No, it's not like that. See, there are three aspects to mercy. They say, who is Krishna's. We have no hope. You feel like that. You feel, I have no hope. I'm not one of those rare. No. Krishna's mercy is all pervading. Everybody has got Krishna's mercy. So the first level of understanding is mercy is all pervading. Everybody. So there is food for life, or there is, sometimes we distribute books. Somebody sees a devotee of Krishna. If you actually see how people have become devotees, just carefully analyze. People have become devotees because of lot of devotees coming in their life at different times, at different places, and eventually we come to Krishna consciousness. We don't realize how so many people have been responsible for it. So everything has a place. So like, for example, in book distribution, I used to experience this. Sometimes I'm convincing one person, take it, and he's about to take, and he says, I don't want, and he goes away. After half an hour, I feel frustrated, and then I'm sitting on the bench. Somebody walks up to me, gives me money and takes the book without me telling him anything. So what had happened? I realized, the first man I convinced, him, he didn't take. Some other devotee will meet him. He will not take. Eventually one day he will be like this man, the second man. He will meet some devotee and take the book. So what happens is, we don't know how many people are working for making us devotee. In Chinese there is a saying, no? It takes 7 people to make a horse drink water. So similarly, for one person becoming a devotee, so many factors are there. So you are on that journey. So we are, in one sense, we are recipients of Krishna's mercy. Krishna is having a big master plan, big strategy. It's a big search operation to get back the conditioned souls back. So Krishna loves us infinitely more than we want to go back to him. Like, you've seen this poster that Aji Ali, they have a big hoarding which says, enjoy Coca-Cola. So you think after seeing that, immediately a person will go and, I want to drink Coca-Cola, because that hoarding is saying? No, he will see that. He will think he's not affected. He will continue walking. Again he will see an ad. Again he will see. 10 places he will see. And then without him realizing, he'll go to a restaurant and he will think by his conscious choice he has made this decision. He'll say, get me Coca-Cola. As if he's independently thoughtful and as if he's made this decision on his own. But he doesn't, little does he know that he's been brainwashed. You know, he's been influenced. So similarly, all of us, we are coming closer to Krishna. Somewhere, somebody is playing his part. So now you're fitting in the class, you're taking darshan of deities, you're taking prasad. You're coming closer to Krishna. You're coming closer to Krishna. And one day you'll be right there. So who is responsible? So you don't have to feel, never feel discouraged. You're all part of Krishna's plan. You know, like a door, once our ashram door was jammed. So all the brahmacharis were banging. Some well-built brahmachari was also hitting. The door didn't move at all. Completely exasperated, we sat down, exhausted. Then one brahmachari was very thin. He came, he just touched the door, it fell. So now, what should we conclude? Oh, he is that rare, special soul, most powerful, others are useless. No, everybody was part of the same plan. Somebody did it. You know? So we had all pushed the door to such a level that it needed that last, like there is a big cyclone, big hurricane, and the tree is shaking, but it's all windy. And one crow comes and sits on a branch and suddenly the branch falls. So does that mean the crow is so strong that it broke the branch? No. Similarly, you know, it's a big, Krishna has got a master plan to take back all of us. And he has sent Srila Prabhupada, he has given us these wonderful books, he has given us this process. We just have to be present, we just have to accept it gratefully. And then just be there, practicing the process. I think then we all can go back to Godhead. Is that okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We'll stop here. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.
Hare Krishna. There are few announcements. Chaitanya Charitamrut in Marathi, Adilila. This course will be starting on 5th September. मराठी में चैतन्य चरितामृत आदि लीला का शुरुआत हो रहा है 5 सितंबर